Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here with positive information about the New Glenn rocket. Waiting, waiting, waiting. We've got a date. Bob, what is New Glenn and what is the date? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. New Glenn is the first orbital rocket that the Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos' company, has been trying to build and launch for 20 plus years. A little background. Blue Origin was formed almost the same day as SpaceX. SpaceX now has landed, I'm not talking about launching, has now landed more than 300 first stages. That's more than almost any rocket has been launched. Blue Origin hasn't yet gotten New Glenn off the ground. It's just took forever. And in fact, there was almost a five-year delay. It's almost 5 years behind schedule, partly because of problems with its BE-4 engine that it uses in its first stage, and partly because the former CEO of Blue Origin that Bezos hired to run the company slow-walked everything for 5 years. He's gone now, and the company is starting to come back to life. So that's the history of New Glenn. Well, finally, it appears we have a launch date for New Glenn. NASA has a payload on this first launch of New Glenn. It's a science experimental satellite project. And so they were giving a presentation about what NASA is going to do on this, and the guy who gave the presentation slipped out that they are planning that New Glenn is planned for a September 29th launch later this year. Now, there have been a lot of rumors and hints that they were going to try to launch in the second half of this year, but this is the first time we have an actual date. And so this is good news because New Glenn is a more powerful rocket than Falcon 9, not as powerful as the Falcon Heavy, but close. But it's going to also do what the Falcon 9 does. Its first stage is going to supposed to land vertically on a barge in the ocean, and then come back and be reused. And we've been waiting for this for almost half a decade now, because it would be really good to have more than one company doing this. Right now, the only other company coming besides SpaceX coming even close is Rocket Lab, with its very small Electron rocket. But New Glenn is a bigger rocket than SpaceX's Falcon 9, so therefore if it starts launching regularly, this will definitely open up the competition in this industry, and that'll force the prices to go down even more, and that's great news.
The last days of Ariane 6, I think. Why, Bob? What's happened?
This is not the last. This is like New Glenn. This is more information that Ariane 6, which is the European Space Agency's replacement of the Ariane 5, is finally going to launch. It, like New Glenn, is like 4 or 5 years behind schedule, lots of problems building it. It's a government rocket, even though a consortium of two private companies, Airbus and Safran, is building it and owns it. It was designed by the European Space Agency. They had to negotiate with Ariane Group on how it was built. Well, Ariane Group had to negotiate with the European Space Agency how it was built. So therefore, it's not built. It's not reusable. It's too expensive. Therefore, it's really, in the end, competitively a failure. But it hasn't launched yet. Well, they're finally beginning to assemble the stages, and they're now vertical on the launch pad, and they're anticipating a launch sometime in June and July, and that's been the schedule now for about the last 3 months, and it hasn't changed. So we could see this rocket taking off. And once again, it's competition. It isn't going to be the future of European rocketry, but it is going to give them a launch vehicle for a period of time until the new startups in Europe get moving. So that's a piece of good news.
And Bob, you think that it survives until there's an alternative? It's so expensive. It's a throwaway. And
Yeah, yeah. It's only going to be around. It's going to be around for less than, I'd say, a half decade. Unlike the Ariane 5, which was there, which operated for almost a quarter century. It doesn't have the, no one's buying it. The other countries in the European Space Agency have been uninterested in buying launches from it because it's just more expensive than many other alternatives. And we'll get to stories later in this particular thing about those other companies in a bit, John.
And Ariane 6, the spaceport is now more worth more than the rocket itself, I think, because France, you told
me. Well, let's go on to the next story in the list, and I'll get to the spaceport later in this segment.
All right,
John,
NASA's looking at Artemis program, and it's going to restructure. That usually means that something's coming that is uncomfortable. What's happening?
Yeah, well, this is a nature of the entire management at NASA in designing the entire Artemis program. I've been saying this for a long time. It's designed badly. It's hampered by SLS, which can only launch every 2 years about, which means you can't do a lot, and it's very expensive, so you can't do a lot of launches. So NASA has never planned this whole program to get astronauts back on the moon with any kind of common sense or safety in mind. Basically, the second launch is going to put astronauts around the moon. That'll be the first time the environmental habitation system will be on the Orion capsule, and you're putting humans on the launch. They were planning to land on the moon, on like the third mission, before they've tested any kind of rendezvous technology in Earth orbit. So here's what NASA's management suddenly decided. It's thinking about, these are rumors, it's anonymous sources, so we don't know if they're actually doing it, but they're thinking of inserting another mission between the second and the third, the first two manned missions. The first manned mission would go around the moon, once again taking great risks of the astronauts' lives on a relatively untested system. But the second mission might become a Earth orbit mission to test the docking and rendezvous capabilities between the Orion capsule and Starship. That's what's rumored. There's a lot of unknowns here because they weren't supposed to dock together anyway in lunar orbit. They were supposed to dock to Lunar Gateway separately and then use the gateway to transfer the astronauts from Orion to Starship. But they're now thinking of doing this. And this is just, once again, this entire program is very haphazardly planned. They don't test things in Earth orbit first as they did in Apollo. And this just points, and this is just a story this week from Bill Nelson, who's an administrator of NASA, that illustrates the haphazard and bad management in NASA. He was being questioned at a hearing about their budget, and a representative from Maryland, a Democrat, asked him a question about why the Chinese are going to the backside of the moon and we're not. And Bill Nelson answered this in a way that indicated a level of being ill-informed about basic science stuff that is shocking. He said, the Chinese are going to have a lander on the far side of the moon, quote, which is the side which is always in dark, close quote. He then talked about how we don't know anything about the back side of the moon, the dark side of the moon, which is just ignorance. We've known about the dark side of the moon and the back side of the moon has been like now since the early 60s with the first missions that took pictures of it. The reason it was called dark side is because you couldn't see the dark side of the moon because it always faces away from Earth. We didn't know what it looked like until the space age. So his level the showing of ignorance on his part, it just indicates the problems at NASA. And the sooner we can get private enterprise doing this stuff instead of government, I think we'll be better off.
Off to Soyuz's ambition for French Guiana. Now we do the French Guiana story.
Yes, this is the spaceport in French Guiana. That spaceport has been run by the European Space Agency, but it's owned by the French Space Agency, CNES. I don't know how to C N E S, but the space agency. With the invasion of the Ukraine by Russia, Europe broke off all partnerships with Russia, and one of those partnerships was with Ariane Space and Russia to use the Soyuz rocket in French Guiana to launch satellites. Well, they broke off all partnership, which meant that launch pad where the Soyuz launched in French Guiana is now unused. So the European Space Agency and France made a deal that each ward put out a bid for a private company to lease use of that space launch pad. And so France's space agency now put out a call for rocket companies to lease the pad. European Space Agency has done the same. And so what this indicates once again is France and the European Space Agency switching from a government model of rocketry, that's Ariane Space and Ariane 6, to the American capitalism model, which is that they're no longer building and designing rockets and owning them, but they're asking private companies to do it for them, and they would be the customer. And so they are now looking to lease those launch pads to private companies, and that would increase the competition in Europe, because there's going to be a lot of new startup rocket companies going to bid on those launch pads, and that's going to encourage them all to build bigger rockets and more efficient rockets.
Bob, does French Guiana have an advantage because it's close to the equator? Is that a good thing?
It's a benefit for certain types of satellites. If you're putting up a geosynchronous satellite or a satellite that's going to orbit near the equator of the Earth, it has an advantage. You're near the equator. If you're going to a sun-synchronous orbit, which is a polar orbit around the poles, it's not as much of an advantage, but it can be useful. And so it depends on the situation. And so that's why there's multiple spaceports all across the globe now being developed, because each has its own advantages depending on what you're launching. France Guiana, though, is well-placed, so it's valuable, and they don't want to waste it. They want to take advantage of this.
All right, Agatha Christie time, an abandoned upper stage. Do we know the origin?
Yeah, this is from an early Japanese rocket. And Japan's space agency, and this is also capitalism's space story. Japan's space agency, JAXA, has awarded two contracts to the orbital tug startup, Astroscale. And one of those contracts has already launched and flown. This is called the Address J mission. And what that mission was is test using the orbital tug to do rendezvous and proximity maneuvers around this abandoned stage, with the goal of a second mission to go up, rendezvous, and then get close, and then use a robot arm to grab the stage and deorbit it. Basically remove space junk. And this is what's different about this space junk test is it's the biggest piece that's going to be tried to deorbit, much bigger than most of the previous orbital tug tests, which have been really with small pieces. This is big. And so the first mission is up there. It's done its rendezvous and proximity maneuvers. It's still doing them. And in the process, it's taking pictures. And so I posted the first picture they've released on Behind the Black. You can see the stage. It's still in pretty good shape, actually, that stage. They're taking these pictures to prepare for the actual grabbing and removal mission to follow. And it's very cool. You can see the stage, and it's very obvious this is a big piece of equipment that they're going to deorbit. So that's moving forward to removing space junk. And Japan's agency, which used to be the builder and designer and owner of everything, has instead hired a private company to do the work instead. Once again, capitalism, space junk.
Bob, translate deorbit. What does that actually mean?
Basically, it's to bring it down, to burn up over the ocean so that no piece has a chance of hitting the ground and doing damage, like the house in Florida that had a piece of right. NASA equipment fall uncontrolled. In this case, you deorbit in a controlled manner so that you know it's going to go drop on the Earth. Even if very little gets to the ground, it'll be in the ocean and no one will be hurt.
The Civil Aviation Authority, that's the United Kingdom, looks like they're doing something right, or maybe they've had a change of leadership.
No, it's not that, John. No. And whether they're doing anything right, I'm not sure. They've at least made progress. The Saxafort, new spaceport on the Shetland Islands, has been trying to get its licenses approved so it can do launches. And there was a whole bunch of licenses it needed to get. It took 2 years to get the spaceport license to allow them to operate as a spaceport. They got that in December from the CAA. And now, this week, they got their range license. This is the license that will allow them to put limitations in the nearby ocean and the range. Where the rocket will launch, they will now have the right to set a range limitation to control the range when they do a launch. That took more than 2 years to get that license. So this is good. Saxafort now is license to be a spaceport that really can launch rockets. The problem is the CAA has to still issue specific launch licenses to the specific rocket companies that want to launch. The company Rocket Factory Augsburg from Germany wants to do its first orbital test this year, but they still have to get their launch license. And though they think they might launch this year, I suspect that CAA is going to drag them into next year before they can launch, John. And that's just the reason why there's a lot of other spaceports in Europe that are developing outside of the UK because of the slowness of the CAA.
All right, quickly, Bob. This is a rough sketch of the manned and unmanned missions for China to the moon. What is the timeline?
Yeah, they released a rough description of this timeline. They want to have their basic manned station built by 2030 to 35 in the lunar South Pole region. Someone should tell Bill Nelson that's where they're building it. Have it completely built by 2045. It will be manned intermittently. They don't intend to have it permanently manned, but they want to have a permanently operating station there that can periodically humans can go to.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.